Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome to the good life.
Ramon just looked at me and goes, you know what? It hadn't nearly been the letdown you would expect after the loss on Sunday.
Yeah.
We're in the last hour of Wednesday.
Already.
And I said, well, the first hour of this show was so off the rails in so many different ways. I loved it.
Like, we do not care.
Yeah, that's perfect. To me, that... like, that hour flew by, and I have no idea we even talked about. So I'm going to go check out our podcast, as you should, 1045zone.com. Bring down the podcast link wherever you get your podcast. Get ours, J-Mart and Ramon. I don't know that I want to drop it too quick, but we also got a logo coming up soon, too.
Yes, we do.
We got us a reveal.
Something you all will be proud of.
Yes, we are very excited about it. Bart Scott can't wait either. We got Rhett Bryan. Can't wait for him. He joins us in about 10, 15 minutes from right now, so stick with us here. Ramon Foster, Jason Martin. Ramon played 11 years in the NFL. That's 11 more than I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah!
Played 4 years at University of Tennessee. Also, fun fact, 4 years more than I did.
Yeah!
15 years of football experience in the college and pros. That's 15 more than me or Jonathan Schaefer, or me and Jonathan Schaefer put together.
Yeah!
You know what? I don't feel like I deserved all that. I feel like something's... I feel like a backhanded compliment is coming also. But
I'm about
you know
to
what?
Drop that but no, on you.
Exactly.
Don't take saucy that out of notes. Context, Schaefer.
But. Yeah. No. Well, no buts today, man. No buts, no nothing. We're rolling.
Oh, wait, you want me to play Sir Mix-a-Lot next or what?
No.
You know when certain songs come on.
Sir Mix-a-Lot. I was saying Sir Mix-a-Lot was that 6'2", 295-pound quarterback that's going to Missouri.
Oh, my gosh.
Call him Sir Picks-a-Lot, but he didn't throw picks.
He does.
Throwing like 82 touchdowns.
He dropped bombs, man. Heck of an athlete. That's all we're saying. And we're throwing a heck of a show right now. That's what I like.
That's humble.
Yeah.
You know always what? Humble when you say we're putting together a hell of a show.
If you know what, if we're gonna be that, we gotta say that and believe it, okay, J-Mart? That's all I'm saying.
So let's reset.
Yeah.
For those that weren't up at 6 o'clock, slackers.
Mm,
but that's all right. True. There's always look. Everybody's a cousin, right?
We got a little bit for everybody.
Everybody's a cousin. They can come to the kitchen, but there's always the people that straggle down late and are like, anything still left? Like scratching, walking down the steps.
100%.
Like, yeah, there's some cold eggs over there.
Put them in
we
the microwave.
We ate 2 hours ago. I've already taken a mile run. What have you done?
I see that image in my head right now.
So scout meeting Wednesday. We do it every Wednesday. We look at the opponent. What are the main things when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, not including Carlos Dunlap, apparently.
Yeah, no, because he's at home chilling.
Yeah. We'll find out where he is. I bet you he's got a new home pretty soon.
It is, 100%. Maybe here, maybe somewhere else, but he's definitely out of Cincinnati at this point, which I thought he was going to be a key player this weekend, and he's not. But agent number one in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, a kid right now that's lights out for them, but he's only lights out as far as the stat line says. He's been sacked 28 times, leads the NFL along with Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles right
sacked!
Now. Yes, 100%. He's 9 touchdowns and 5 picks compared to Tannehill, who's 15-2, a guy that's helping his team win right now. And it's just bad right now for the Cincinnati, the protection aspect. If we talked about this a little bit at the end of the last hour, okay, when we asked Mike Herndon about it. If you're going to be a team that pads your stats as far as what Cincinnati's allowing you to do, they're going to be without left tackle Jonah Williams this weekend. Okay. They've given up 28 sacks, and this team that we've been talking about all this year, the Tennessee Titans defense, who needs to be a huge compliment to the offense coming up real soon, has to take advantage of it this weekend. They just absolutely have to abuse Cincinnati on the defensive side of the ball this weekend. It has to happen. If you're going to get a spark the way Mike Herndon said on the last segment, this is the week. Why not be a part of the party that's abusing Joe Burrow when they're allowing you to every single play?
If you can't get to him, you got a real problem.
That's when we start really asking questions. And I'm hopeful that they're savvy enough. I know Big Jeff on the inside is going to be able to do his thing, but the guys we're talking about is those outside rushers. They got to be able to close the deal this weekend and not let a young guy like Joe Burrow. Cause the thing about him right now, he's playing fearless. Okay. He's just out there throwing it because he knows, guess what? We're not a playoff team. I'm the guy that's going to be here for a while. I don't have to worry about job security and they're letting me play ball. The game is going through him. And if you let a guy get hot and you don't allow yourself to get off the field on third down, which has been a bigger topic for this defense. You can find yourself in a shootout, and that's not what you want against a young guy on a young team that don't care about winning and losing right now. Do they want to win? Yes. But do you expect them to? No. And that's dangerous when you look at it.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at that Browns game from Sunday, the Browns had to come back and win that game.
They did.
Because it was a shootout, just like you just talked about. And the way I said it yesterday to you was you just don't have you're not creating a margin of error or a margin for error for your offense when your defense is giving up that many points, because Tannehill knows every time he goes in, we better score.
Yeah.
That's the same way Mahomes felt a couple of years ago. Well, we better go score, because if we don't put up 45, we're going to lose.
And the thing is, too, is Cincinnati has some players on offense that can at least make plays for you. A.J. Green, we still got to look at. No matter how you feel about him, he was at one point one of the best wide receivers in the whole NFL. Joe Burrow, we just spoke about his talent, number one. But then you got Joe Mixon and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. Those are guys that, given the opportunity, if you let them breathe life into their offensive schemes, they can make something happen. And that's not what you want with a team like that. And on the other side of the ball, too, for this defense, they got a young guy that we hadn't really said too much about, but Carl Lawson is a guy that's going to go 100% every single time. I never forget playing against him. He's a headache. Last year, he's coming off the ACL right now. He's coming off the ACL injury from last year right now. But he has this left stiff arm, this left jab with his arm that just lifts tackles off their feet. He's not talked about right now because why? He's in Cincinnati. But guys that play the game, for Sombrello, this is a big matchup for him this weekend with him rushing off the edge. He's a never-stop type of guy when you're playing him on defense. And this secondary in Cincinnati, or this defense as a general, has 7 interceptions on the season. They are the same way, I guess you look at it, in the sense of the Tennessee Titans. They're opportunistic on what they do. They're opportunists. Okay. You give them a sliver of light, just a little bit, and they might take advantage of you. So they can't have a letdown this weekend. Do I think they'll win? 100%. But if you give a team like this, who's young and just, I call it young Thundercats, they will push you to the edge the same way they did against Cleveland last weekend. And I think we all can agree Cleveland is better than what we've given them credit for. But they should have convincingly beat Cincinnati last week, and they didn't. It went down to literally the last pass of the game.
Literally.
Yes.
Like, literally. And, of course, they lost Odell in that game.
Which they did lose Odell.
On an interception.
Yeah.
Chasing somebody down.
On his quarterback's interception.
Yikes.
Jeez.
I bet Baker didn't feel too good about that.
No, he didn't. I bet the rest of them won't feel too good about it, especially.
Jeez.
Exactly.
Pretty much. But yeah, if you can't get to Burrow, that's trouble. And then I don't know how kind I can say this. Jadeveon and Vic.
Yeah.
Need to actually do something for this team. I know, look. It was a forced fumble on Sunday. I mean, they did a little bit.
Yeah.
They didn't do.
That was on a gadget play, though.
Yeah, right.
He was supposed to get upfield. We're talking about beating a man, like getting to the quarterback. As the best defense for your secondary that's giving up a big percentage of third downs, is putting the quarterback on his back. Like, that's how you defeat the pass game. That's how you beat third down, is getting to the quarterback. And those guys are supposed to be pass rush specialists. And we haven't seen that right now. Whatever they got to do is go to the sharpening block and sharp your knives. This week is the week to do it. They're going to be without their left tackle, maybe their center also. And they're the league high 28 sacks. We're not even halfway through the season right now. I mean, that's pushing the envelope on abusing a young rookie quarterback, man.
Yeah, we just talked about, you know, Deshaun Watson getting sacked 60 times in his first year in Houston. Well, Burrow's on pace for more than that.
Imagine.
Right now. We'll talk to Rhett Bryan. He doesn't get sacked.
No.
Rhett Bryan never gets sacked. Titans Radio executive producer will join us next. At JMart and Ramon on Twitter. Picture me polling real quickly. What scares you or what concerns you if you're a Titans fan going into Sunday? Is it Joe Burrow? Is it the chance of a letdown game? Or is it nothing? We'll get you the results in the comments, popping in at J-Mart and Ramon when we come back. 104.5 The Zone.
This is Henry.
When I break a long run, I'm talking long run. That's why I use Triple Protection Old Spice Sweat Defense.
There it goes.
It's not just strong. It's strong, strong. It works harder for longer. So when it's time to eat, I'm going to eat, eat.
Hey, Derek, man, you're going to be much longer.
This is going to be a minute, minute. Derek, come on. Derek Henry coming down.
Yeah!
Derek Henry's Old Spice ad. If you haven't seen it or heard it yet.
That was awesome.
J-Mart Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. We're lifted up by All Four Seasons Garage Doors here in Nashville.
That was amazing.
When trust matters, count on them. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business. Super important in the age of COVID. Visit allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville to learn more. We bring in Rhett Bryan, executive producer, game day host of Titans Radio. Rhett, what's up?
Just getting ready for another week. First road trip in 5 weeks to Cincinnati, to Paul Brown Stadium this Sunday against the Bengals. Here we go.
So, obviously there was a loss on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at the positive or the negative side of this? Because you can certainly look at the third down defense, which is historically bad right now at 61%. You can look at the missed kick. But you can also look at the fact that this team did not play well at all for 2.5 quarters and still was within a 45-yard field goal of tying it and sending it to overtime against the lone remaining undefeated team in the National Football League. So how, where is your glass half full, glass half empty, Larry David style? Where are you on this?
Well, my glass half empty would be more of the third down defense than it would be a Guskowski miss. Because if you're not giving up in that game 72% on third down against your offensive opponent, you're probably not in that position to worry about missing a field goal. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, you got to give some credit to the Steelers. Remember last week, my tone was different. I said, listen, they've got to play perfect as they can for three quarters. Complimentary football, mistake-free as possible to get this win because they were the most complete team they'd faced all year, and the Steelers proved that. So, you know, credit to them to begin with because they came out and they dictated and dominated everything with those long drives and played keep away and wore out the Titans defense. It's amazing that they held them to 3 points in the second half. And that just shows the resiliency and the belief in one another that the Titans have, that they've got the weapons and the firepower to get back in games. And just not too many seasons ago and years ago that wouldn't have been the case. It would have been a boat race.
When you look at the way that they approached this game defensively, it looked to me, and I think Ramon has agreed on this as well, that they went in to stop Chase Claypool. They wanted to stop him from being the guy. And I don't know whether or not they were sure Deontay Johnson was healthy or not. He hasn't been. Throughout much of this season, my fantasy team can tell you all about it. But in this game, he looked great. And I think it exposed, when you add the Fulton situation to everything, it just exposed a lack of depth in that secondary against teams that have a lot of different weapons. And while I don't think Pittsburgh has the best weapons that this team would see, especially if you move on into the playoffs, they're certainly above average, and they have multiple ways to beat you.
Well, and it's not just whether they underestimated Deontay Johnson or whatever. I mean, you got to remember, they have a healthy James Conner, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he was a big part of this whole thing. And you're right. They effectively shut down Claypool, who was the target. He led the team in touchdowns, led the team, I think, in receptions. I know he led them in yardage going to that game last week. So, they, you know, mission accomplished with that, but there's other things you got to take care of. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, they're still 5-1. And listen, Ramon can speak to this way better than any of us, knowing his tenure with the Steelers. But if I had to write this book a couple of weeks out, because the Steelers are on their bye week this week, they go to Baltimore and probably lose that game because that's the way that series has gone between those two teams. Now, whether that happens or not, we'll see. But that's these things happen. So you just pick up and move on. Yeah. And the thing that you look at for the Titans is, and we can afford to look at ahead more than 1 week, unlike the players and the coaches. You got a couple opportunities here, and we knew the Bears was not a good team at 5-1.
Yeah,
they were paper lions that were playing as paper Bears. But you could be 7-1 here in a couple of weeks, getting ready to face Indianapolis on Thursday Night Football on November the 12th or whatever it is.
Yeah, they're still in a good place. This team is still a really good team. It's just like you said, when you have deficiencies, they kind of get exposed by good teams, and that's something that's got to be done. Moving forward for the rest of the season, man, is what we've been talking about this morning. But you speak about the players that this team, the Tennessee Titans team, has. The guy that kind of got the spark going was A.J. Brown. Do you intentionally at all times find ways to keep him in the game, or at least be able to expose defenses to get him being the fastest man on the field and showing his attributes every single game?
I would, and listen, I'm so glad that Corey Davis is back and was last week, but I felt like there was some balls fed to him in places. And look, this thing, you know, this offense under Arthur Smith has shown they spread it around.
Yeah.
If you're up and active and out there, better be ready to go make a play, because a lot of people have. Some games there was 10 different receivers that Tannehill hit. But I would like to see more from A.J. Brown, because he is a huge elite difference maker. And I say elite, and that's early in his career, but you see how that guy's built,
man,
and what he can do run after catch, those yak yards. Holy Moses. I mean, it's kind of like Henry with the stiff arms and everything. I mean, he is like trying to bring down a linebacker with speed in this thing, you know, running with the ball. So yeah, absolutely, I would do that.
Yeah, and that's the point that I'm making a little bit, as far as, you know, like you said, Arthur Smith does like to spread it around, but I think it opens up the defense a little bit more, to a little bit more to exposure whenever you're giving him the ball. Like I said, we know quarterbacks go to their number one all the time, and it does nothing but helps everybody else out. Like you said, the Titans shut down Chase Claypool, but it also exposed some other regions that they did not pay attention to, and that was Deontay Johnson this past weekend. I think getting him into the game early and often helps open up the rest of the team.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. If you can hit him on a couple of plays early, first of all, you guys have hit it in your scouting segments this morning. You can get the Bengals defense off their right foot early in this thing, because they have trouble rushing the passer. And then you've told us this morning about Carlos Dunlap, which you figured was coming, because we talked to Dan Hoard, the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals, Monday night on the Mike Vrabel show, and he talked about how contentious and how bad that situation was getting with these open tweets, you know, talking about the coaching staff and disgruntled with his playing time and those things. And between him, who has been, he's been a very productive player for them, and then Geno Atkins, you know, is coming back from a shoulder injury that he sustained in training camp. So they don't have their best weapons out there in terms of pass rush. You can, you know, I heard Mike Herndon say it earlier this hour. It's what I call a get well game when you're talking about pass rush and those things. You hit the numbers, 28 sacks that they've given up on this thing. Poor Joe Burrow. Mm. He's been hit almost 60 times.
Yep.
And you look at, you know, Mike Herndon outlined it, but chance your left tackle Jonah Williams is not going to be out there. Your right tackle Bobby Hart's already been ruled out. Your starting center is in concussion protocol. And so you got just some dudes out there. And I believe you can make some hay in this thing. You know, Jeffrey Simmons has got to be licking his chops on this deal.
Everybody is. Has to be, man.
Yeah.
I would come out of retirement to rush this offensive line.
Moan, talk about a candy bar.
You talk
about looking at somebody saying, that's a candy bar.
No,
that's where it's sweet. We can run over there or whatever like that.
Oh, yeah.
This is a candy shop.
That's the king-size bar this weekend.
Yeah, this is Wile E. Coyote looking at Roadrunner as he's been dressed on the table coming out of the oven with a little booties on the end of his drumsticks. It's like that deal. But let's be serious for a second, because at 1-5-1 doesn't tell the story of the Bengals.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is the real deal. They have found their quarterback. He is not a 1-year anomaly in college football with LSU. What he learned under Joe Brady has really helped him at this level. And he's distributing the ball a lot like a Tannehill. He set a franchise record Sunday in that game that they lost to the Browns. He had six different receivers with 50 yards receiving each. Think about that now. And it's not just the receivers. Like Drew Sample, the second-year tight end, who is a blocker by nature, is getting into the game as well.
I was about to say, so, six receivers of the Bengals. I wonder how many people in our audience or in this studio could name six receivers.
Well, let's say this.
In the Cincinnati Bengals, without looking it up.
In the injury woes that A.J. Brown has had, A.J. Green has had in the last couple of years with the foot and the ankle, it's been Tyler Boyd's show, and he is the lead dog in that. But T. Higgins, who's, you know, from East Tennessee, has been a big part of that. But A.J. Green has come back into the picture. He's really starting to find his old form. In fact, in the last two games, 15 catches for 178 yards. Nothing to sneeze at. And then you get Gio Bernard involved, who can catch it out of the backfield. Don't know whether Joe Mixon's going to be available because he missed last week with a foot. They have weapons. So you've got to be careful in this. And the reason and people are like, oh, gosh, Rhett, come on, man. It's the Bengals. They're 1-5-1. Stop propping them up. Yeah. But think of it this way now, guys. In that 1-5-1 record, in five of their first seven games, they had a fourth quarter lead, just like they did Sunday against the Browns.
Yeah.
And they had a 4-second left on the clock Hail Mary that if they'd hit on that, they'd have beaten the Browns.
And looking at these scores right now, too, if we can read them off real quick, 13-16 to the Chargers. 30-35 to the Browns. 23-23 tie with Philly.
Yep.
They beat Jacksonville 33-25.
Man, they played some bad teams.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, but they're close.
Yeah, no, everybody gets paid in the league.
The game they got hammered was Baltimore.
Baltimore was the only one. Even to the Colts, 27-31. And then this past weekend, 34-37. Like, Cleveland had to play to beat this team, which is what I'm saying. Like, you either go crush them early, put the smoke out early, or this can be a shootout. And I'm not saying it's a letdown game or nothing like that.
But listen, remember last week when Vrabel and all of us were talking about the Steelers offense and how Ben was distributing the ball? There was like five different receivers with 25 receptions already, 25 catches. The Bengals have five different receivers right now with at least 20 catches. And as soon as the tight end Sample gets another one, he'll be in that 20 catch club. Yeah. That's how much he's moving that thing around. So, you know, that's the thing that they've got to watch is this guy can he led them on two long fourth quarter drives in that game last week that they lost to the Browns. He can do this. So it all comes down to Jeffrey Simmons in that front and then the guys in the back, you know, getting the gift wrap interceptions with the pressure. They've got to bring the pressure on this thing and put Joe Burrow at least get him off of his pace and get him out of the pocket correctly. But if they can put him on his rear end, you know, it could be a long day for them.
Rhett, you have heard us this morning kind of kicking the tires on Dunlap, and we've mentioned some other stuff. And, of course, Everson Griffin's now a Lion. Quinnen Williams is out there. There's even that crazy rumor about Stephon Gilmore that's out there as well, that people are being picked up. Is there anybody that you look at? Because I know you and Coach Mack spend so much time just – at the draft, and by the time season comes around, you know way more names than anybody should know. but maybe not you. You probably should know those names. But are there any names out there?
I just know about osmosis.
There you go. Exactly. Let it diffuse into your brain space.
That's right.
But are there any names out there that you look at and you're like, all right, that guy can make this team better in a way that the cost is worth going out and kicking the tires on this? Or is there somebody you say, but wait, I hope they can find a way to bring that guy in?
Well, the one thing that Coach Mack has coached me on, and let's think about this. I mean, the guys that are out on the street are out on the street for a reason.
Right.
Yeah. And the Carlos Dunlap thing would be interesting, but if he's that much of a problem with them, do you want to take that on? Is he a Titan?
I'll say this. After playing him for years, I don't think he's that type. I've never heard that before, and I know people that are really good, close friends.
Okay, so he's disgruntled like a lot of players have been, and, you know, they hate Mike Brown, the owner up there. They always have. So maybe that's it, but he's still in his early 30s, and, you know, I don't know that you trade for him because he's got a pretty good, pretty high salary. So if you could get him off the waiver wire, maybe that's something you look at. Quinnen Williams is something I would love, but the price is going to be too high there. And same thing with Stephon Gilmore. I just, you know, I think the thing that we're all caught up in is whether we play Madden or whether we play fantasy football, the video games, and all of a sudden we're general managers and we're coaches. And I wish it was that easy, but it's just not sometimes. You know, maybe there's somebody else with the Cowboys in a fire sale. It looks like they're having that you could pick off the pile, but, I know what you mean that you look like, gosh, there's somebody that we can add here, but you got to look at the cap situation too.
Right.
You know, they're only like $7 million under the cap.
Right.
Not going to be a whole lot of rollover like there's been in the last few years. So, you know, you got to think about those things as well. And people he's going to have to pay down the road. You know, yeah. Is it Jonnu Smith or is it Jayon Brown?
Right.
Can you somehow get both of them? Because you've got a lot of money tied up in the wagons with what he's done in the last couple of 3 years, as he should have done. He's procured the talent and kept it.
I know you don't have an answer to this question in terms of how do you fix this, but 5 of 11 inside 50 yards for Gostkowski. You, off the top, said, you know, the third down defense a bigger problem coming out of Sunday than Gostkowski. I would tend to agree. I think Ramon would, too, mm-hmm. but... what do you do?
Well, you have him kick outside 50 yards because he's perfect.
That's crazy. How many kickers in NFL history like five for five better about outside of 50?
No, it's like completely the opposite of what it normally is. I think he's 5 for 5 outside 50. So just have him kick, you know, outside 50 without the sock or whatever the deal is there.
Yeah. I didn't want to get into sock game.
Well, you know, Ramon knows this as much as anybody. I mean, kickers are different dudes,
they
man.
They are.
And it can get in their heads so fast. It is a, I mean, they need John Smoltz's sports psychiatrist on speed dial, man. You know, but, and I'm going to tell you something else now. You look at some of the snaps, and just setting up a hold in this thing. Cause you got to remember, Bo Brinkley had COVID.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've never seen him have any issues snapping the ball at all. And there's been a couple I was like, okay, that's different. So, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I think if you get teams off the field on third down, and you're probably not going to have to worry about all those things.
Because
if they could tear it up in the red zone like they've been doing, you know, just have them kick PATs and you're done.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, offense, Tyson Brelo had good praise from PFF this weekend.
Okay.
And we've also seen, Isaiah Wilson getting high praise in the last couple of days too from the coaching staff.
Okay.
What does that mean for those two guys? I know neither one of them are Taylor Lewan. We think the potential of Isaiah is through the roof, but those two guys getting into the fold with it's been tied job. Do you think there will ever be a position change right there, a starter change, if given opportunity with Isaiah?
I think it's going to be an injury situation that gets Isaiah into the lineup. If I'm just, you know, I'm speaking for the coaches, I don't know, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think it's that. Now, listen, after Sam Brelo gave up the strip sack forced fumble from J.J. Watt, you know, a week and a half ago, whatever, he hadn't heard his name called, so that's good.
That's beautiful.
And that's what you want. And I noticed, you know, they bring in big Jeff Swaim over there to help chip some last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the hope is you can kind of still keep that thing going because you still have Roger Saffold to your right and Ben Jones to your right that makes you better at left if you're Tyson Brelo. I think the concern is that you hope that Dennis Kelly isn't dinged up, you know, because there's a point in that ball game where he's, you know, kind of gingerly getting over to the sideline. You wonder if he's coming out.
Yeah.
And now, you know, when you start talking about those things, now that's when you're talking about Isaiah Wilson having to be thrust into some action in this thing. Hopefully he gets some more time before he's ready to walk out there and do his thing. And then when he does, you know, I wonder if they don't just throw him at left tackle if something was horrible.
Right.
Because I think Dennis Kelly's probably better suited at right tackle. But we'll see. And just hope we don't have to get to any of those scenarios. Hopefully it just continues to be all right because they've only given up 7 sacks as a unit. So we'll take that.
I'll say this. I hope they figure it out before Khalil Mack come in.
Yeah, that's a bad man right there. And, that's troubling. Thanks for reminding me of that, Ramon.
Just ruin your day right there.
Thank you for raining on the parade.
Hey, we always focus on one week, but I'll tell you this. When I was playing against Aaron Donald or Geno Atkins or those types of guys, guess what? I got to have my mind right for this week. And that's what I'm hoping, man.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this will be a get right game for the Titans. Red always gets, always makes us right. When you come on with us, we appreciate it.
I appreciate it. We're ready to bring you coverage right here on the home of Titans football at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and we'll roll through the afternoon. And hopefully Sunday afternoon about 3:15, Titans will be 6-1.
We could care less about Matt Barkley's work.
That is Brett. Exactly right. We could care less about Matt Barkley's work.
A players, baby.
Oh, there it is. He's thanks, at guys. Yeah, he's at Red B Tennessee on Twitter. When we come back, late edition, not a late scratch, late edition. Jim Wyatt, his Dodgers won the World Series.
I hope we get Robo Wyatt.
I could care less about the Dodgers World Series, but we'll bring on Robo Wyatt when we come back. 104.5 The Zone.
Yeah, that's some turd stuff right there.
Jim?
Mike, are you, I guess, optimistic about getting some more guys off the COVID list? And how do you kind of manage that throughout the course and continue with that? The situation with Fulton coming up and being active last night, you just didn't feel comfortable in him loose without practice.
Sure. You know, Jim, we're going to ask from now on that you type your questions into the chat room and that you no longer get to talk anymore or you'll have to go through Ashley. Maybe you could send your questions to Ashley and then Ashley could ask them. But we are hopeful that some of those players would return that are on the COVID list here in the next few days. After that, I stopped actually listening, Jim.
Woo, boy.
Wowzers.
Welcome back to the Pet TC on ZONE.
That was amazing.
Woo.
The fact that he told him I stopped listening.
Would have been better is if he had just answered a completely random question. He's like, he thinks he knows what Jim asked. But if he had just gone completely off the reservation and started talking about something else, I think that's the only thing that would have made that bit better.
You no longer get to talk.
We do bring in Jim Wyatt, who I'm sure is smiling with us clowning him. But look, your Dodgers won last night, and I'm a Braves fan. And Mama told me if you didn't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. And I forgot to tell Schaefer that after this, I just wanted him to play a cricket sound for about 15 seconds. I was just going to stop talking. But congratulations, Jim. I've seen that visor for a long, long time. I know you're feeling good this morning.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a long time, and certainly I know this is not Dodgers country around here, but I was raised a Dodger fan. You know, my dad, Dodgers fan since the days of Brooklyn Dodgers. So it meant a lot to me and my family, so I appreciate the congratulations.
Did you feel good about it when they took Blake Snell out?
I was relieved when they took Blake Snell out. I don't think, they were going to get – a run across the plate against him, to be honest with you. And I was worried he may go 8-9 innings and then them bring in the closure and it's going to game 7. So, I was, glad to see him leave the game. And I certainly think it provided the spark for the Dodgers, that they needed.
For a guy like you, who's a major fan of the Dodgers, to see somebody from this city, Mookie Betts, win it. How big of an inspiration is it for him? But also, on the other side of that, when will you run up to him and hug him for winning your team the World Series?
Well, it's funny. He was the 12th Titan a couple of years ago, and it was coming off the Red Sox beating the Dodgers. And so I wasn't as thrilled to see him then. I mean, I've always had a lot of respect for him. I went to Father Ride High School. He went to Overton High School. Those two teams and high schools are always biggest rivals when I was growing up. And, but I've kind of admired him and the way he's played. I was in Boston. My family went for a trip, up there last summer. And, Mookie had a walk off the night that we went at Fenway, and to have him now with the Dodgers, I mean, it made it even more special. I mean, the Dodgers have so many kind of local connections, from obviously Walker Buehler at Vanderbilt and Matt Beatty, who played at Belmont, and from Dresden, Tennessee. They obviously got David Price this offseason. He decided to opt out. But, they've had a lot of kind of local connections that's made it even more special for me. But just to have him in a Dodgers uniform and just the way he carries himself and represents the city so well, heard so many good things about him. If I see him, I'll be definitely wanting to give a high five. Hopefully that the coronavirus will be past us and it'll be safe to do that.
Jim, do you think the Titans are going to be active in terms of the trade deadline? It's a weird day, obviously happening on election day and everything else, but
that's kind of been the speculation coming off the third down defense and some of the struggles that we've seen. It's just, is the right guy out there for them? Do you expect them to be active?
Well, I always, anytime people ask about a trade with the Titans, I always say, you know, I don't put anything past John Robinson because he's kind of been an outside the box GM. I mean, I've covered, you know, this team from the beginning, and there were trade deadlines that would come, and I just never thought that anything would happen. And most of the time, things didn't happen. You know, John has been aggressive. At the same time, he's been smart too. And yes, this team has some spots where it could need some help, but I also don't think he's going to, you know, he's going to make a move that's going to hurt this team down the road too. So it has to be the right, it has to be the right situation. You know, this team doesn't have a lot of cap room to be taking on big contracts. And a lot of times if a team has a player that a lot of people want, you know, your price is going to be high. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure he is making those calls. I'm sure he's, you know, kind of eyeing the landscape and seeing what could be out there. But at the same time, I think he realizes he's built a roster and has a head coach that proved last year, you know, you can get to the AFC Championship game with a lot of these guys that are on the team now. And obviously this Titans team needs to get better on defense, you know, needs to clean up things on special teams. They saw a great Steelers team come in here this weekend and didn't play real well, and that game still came down to, you know, to the end. So, you know, just need to clean up with what you got, and then we'll just see what happens as far as whether or not he'll make a move.
Well, we really just wanted to congratulate you, yes, but I had to throw congrats. A Titans one in there. But enjoy this one. It's been a while, and you've had a couple of pretty lean years when it comes to getting almost there and then having your heart broken. So enjoy this one.
I appreciate it. You guys have a great day. Enjoy your show.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Jim Wyatt at J. Wyatt Sports. We got to get out of here because Midday 180 is actually coming in here behind us. So we got some cleaning to do. I got some rubber gloves to put on. We got some protocols to follow. All of that good stuff. We'll have Andy Staples tomorrow talking college football. We'll continue to get you set for Titans Bengals. Our thanks to Sam Monson, to Mike Herndon, to Jim Wyatt for popping in as well. Follow us on Twitter at JMart and Ramon. And just at it, Rashawn Evans will join us on Friday. Titans linebacker. Looking forward to that conversation. Maybe we can talk to him about the defense. I don't know.
Just a little bit.
There it is. For Ramon Foster, for Jonathan Schaefer, I'm Jason Martin. 24/7, 365 at JMart and Ramon on Twitter. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Ramon.
And remember, your mic is always hot.
Out.